good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, and welcome to episode 7 of the Musical Weed Podcast. I'm your host, Rico, also known as the Musical Weed. And today, I'm actually going to be omitting the music topic of or music topic portion of the podcast because, I mean, frankly, there wasn't really that much that interests me this week to really talk about. Like, nothing really caught my eye, really stood out as, you know, me to cover. You know, this podcast is all about, you know, stuff that I'm interested in, stuff, you know, that speaks to me, my interests, and, you know, hey, you know, if nothing catches my eye in, you know, music, it is what it is. You know, there won't be nothing, you know, musical related in the episode. Same thing goes for gaming. If there's nothing gaming that catches my eye, or, you know, really isn't much, you know, newsworthy stuff to talk about, in my opinion, then, you know, I'm not gonna try and force myself to, you know, speak about a topic that I really don't care about, or, you know, has no meaning or interest to me. Like, I'm not gonna put y'all through that. I don't even think y'all like to hear me talk about something I'm not even passionate about. I like to think that's one of the appeals of this show, or of this podcast, is that I talk about stuff that I love, stuff I talk about, stuff I like passionately. And yeah, just, you know, I have some integrity with myself. So this week, sorry y'all, but there won't be any music portion of, or any like music news portion of this week of the podcast. Who knows, maybe this coming week there might be, you know, some breaking news or whatever, whatever's going on, you know, the music industry or whatever, that I can, you know, come back next week and report to you. But yeah, sorry, this week no music news, but have quite a bit of gaming news and anime news for you on this episode of the podcast, so stay tuned for that. Opening it how we open most of our episodes, what's in my rotation. Starting off with music, what I've been listening to lately, I actually kind of started getting into, he's kind of like a popular, semi-popular, not semi, he's kind of a popular rapper, up and coming right now. His name is Yeet. I'm not gonna lie, y'all, I put him in that same category. I put him as Playboi Carti, like that whole like wave right there. I put him in that category. And while I love Playboi Carti, I really like bumping his music. You know, it's fun. You know, even I got like my ignorant stuff sometimes. You know, I mean, it can't all just be, you know, fucking bars and, you know, multiple syllables, you know, beating me over the head. You know, sometimes I like to turn off my brain, you know, listen to some hard ass beats, you know, just listen to some ignorant shit every once in a while. But I will be the first to say these people are trash. Like, trash. Like, I'll never say, yo, he's like the best out right now, like he's like the best rapper, best artist right now. No, the dude's trash. Like, he's trash. I love his music, I love bumping it, but to me, he, like, from like a technical, like lyrical, or like even like wise, like it's trash. Like, but there's a time and place for it, you know. You know, it's a guilty pleasure of mine. You know, everyone has their own guilty pleasures. Some like, you know, trashy romance movies. Some people like trashy horror movies. Some people like, you know, like really like B-list, you know, like action movies or something like that. I like, you know, some ignorant, you know, kind of whack, you know, trap music like this. You know, it is what it is. But I've been kind of bumping him a bit this week. I've started kind of getting into him. You know, the beats slap in the car. If you got a good system, they slap. I mean, he ain't really saying nothing, you know, and it took me a while to get over his voice, because his voice is like really auto-tuned, and even his voice sounds like he's rapping with like two like cotton balls stuck up his new nose. Like, it sounds like very like nasal. But I'm starting to enjoy it. Plus, you know, the beats bang in the car and the whip, you know. So been listening to Yeet. What else have I been listening to? I've been listening to still listening to Joey Badass, the album he dropped 2000. Now that is, you know, that grown man rap, you know, that was actually, you know, bars, you know, spitting, you know, dope beats, you know, dope rhyme patterns, dope, you know, metaphors, like punchlines, stuff like that. I've been revisiting a band I really loved, and sadly they're no longer together anymore, but they're a band called Let Live. They're kind of like a screamo band, but they have more like a punk flavor to them. And if you want like that aggressive kind of like metalcore slash punk kind of sound, I would recommend checking out Let Live, specifically the album The Black Is Beautiful. And even like their the lead singer, Jason Aulon, like his lyrics are really like poignant, you know. On this one song called Dreamer's Disease, there's one line that like really like, you know, still kind of hits me to this day. If they say home is where the heart is, then it's a crying shame we can't afford the rent. You know, it's like, damn. And songs like White America's Beautiful Black Market, like even just that title, like it's like, oh wow, like that's a really kind of poetic way to kind of put it. And and the lyrical content in the song, you know, it's the album was made in 2013, but it's like, you know, it's kind of as getting up there in age, almost getting to like the 10 year mark, and still haven't really progressed that much in society. I mean yeah, white America still has a beautiful black market, that's for sure. Then, you know, songs like 27 Club, he's like to leave a message or to like change their minds, you have to be a martyr. And it's like, well, I would kill myself, but suicide is so cliche. Like, this album, it's very aggressive, but it's also very lyrically dense. You know, I keep coming back to this album, and still, you know, almost 10 years later, and I still pull shit. I'm like, damn, so that's what he meant, or this is what I'm getting from it now in this point in my life. You know, it's one of those albums that it really does age pretty good. There is talks, like I think I saw him on Instagram or whatever post on that, oh, we're getting close to the 10 year mark, even though we're not, the band's no longer together and he's doing his own thing, he got his own band now. But he would like to re-release the album with a different mix to it, because I was kind of a criticism when the album first came out, was the mix was like, it sounded really compressed. It sounded kind of compressed. Even his vocals on this one, they weren't as raw or as unmodulated as they were on the previous record. On this one, they sound compressed, first of all, but they also sound like they have somewhat of an accent to them. Not necessarily like a straight up auto tune or like a pitch correction, but it sounds like they had some kind of modulation to them. But he always says that was just more of an artistic choice. Like y'all see me live, y'all know I don't need it. It was just something at the time I felt that the album needed to convey, you know, the feeling that I was feeling while recording this album. But the 10 year anniversary is coming up, and he wants to, you know, make it happen to re-release the album, but give it a different mix. Because when they played it live, everyone kept saying like, yo, this is what the album should have sounded like, you know, like if y'all can just like take these live recordings, like re-release that shit, you know, then the album will be like your best album ever. So I mean, me personally, I would hope that would happen. Me personally, I always kind of hope that they would get back together for one more reunion tour, because they would put on the craziest shows, bro. I'm just gonna see them when they're here in Houston back in 2014, they were opening up for Of Mice and Men and Bring Me the Horizon. They were the first, openers, and man, that shit was crazy. Like, he climbed up the scaffolding and he was hanging off the second story balcony while, like, still going, like, hard in the paint, you know, still doing the song, whatever. Climbs back down, they're about to do the other song, and he's like, you know, my daddy always told me that if you want to do something right, you know, you gotta do it yourself. So he's like, open that shit up, you know, like, people, like, start opening up the mosh pit or whatever. And as soon as, like, the song, like, started, you know, like, the guitar's hitting, like, the beat dropped and everything, he jumped from the stage into the mosh pit with the microphone still, you know, going. It's like, what the f-? Like, I've never seen anything like that. Like, they put on, like, the craziest they used to put on the craziest shows, and I always hope, like, man, I wish I could see them one more time, and I wish I could see them as, like, the headliner, you know, get, like, an actual, like, full set from them. And, you know, here's some of these, you know, songs I've been listening to for forever, you know, from The Blackest, Beautiful, and other ones. But, only time will tell. As far as what I've been watching in terms of anime, I haven't really been watching that much. I'm not gonna lie, I keep rewatching the Cyberpunk anime, but that's also due in part for which I hope y'all enjoy that first episode of the Cyberpunk miniseries we have going on here on the podcast, of me reviewing and breaking down each episode and giving y'all extra tidbits about the lore and, you know, certain significant things that happen in the anime that get tied, you know, to the greater lore of the Cyberpunk world. So I keep rewatching that because I keep finding, like, just a little bit more things. I'm not gonna go too much into it because we got episode 2 coming out next Tuesday. Y'all find out there. But been watching that. I'm still watching Dark Ghost Mexico. I'm on season 2 now, which, you know, the first season I really loved, you know, Kiki Camarena's, you know, whole story. And, you know, sadly, you know, we all knew what the ending was gonna be, because they even mentioned it in the first Narco series, the one where it's, like, about Pablo Escobar, when the two DEA agents, they're like, yeah, they wouldn't dream of touching us, and they're like, why? Because of Kiki. And then they broke down, like, Kiki Camarena's story, that, you know, he got killed, you know, and now that, you know, pretty much they can't really touch a U.S. Agent while they're down there, or, you know, you'll have, like, the whole weight of, you know, the America government behind them, you know, coming on your ass. So still watching that. As far as what do I have my rotation as far as gaming goes, playing a little bit of Destiny 2 here and there, getting acclimated with that again. Whatchamacallit. What else have I been playing? That's pretty much it. I haven't really played too many video games. I've actually been watching a lot of this web series on YouTube, and they live stream on Twitch every Thursday. It's this Dungeons and Dragons show. They're called Critical Role, and they're actually, you know, voice actors that play Dungeons and Dragons. Some of them you're actually gonna be familiar with. Ashley Johnson, who, she was the voice of Ellie, from the little girl from The Last of Us. She's been in numerous other things. Like, it's one of those, once you hear their voices, you'll start to, like, oh, I recognize her from that, or I recognize him from that, I recognize her from, like, it's one of those type of things. Which I'm enjoying, which I love Critical Role, since I'm a big Dungeons and Dragons nerd. and whatchamacallit, I've been trying to catch up because, man, I will say this about One Piece. One Piece, even though it's long as shit, even despite that, at least the episodes are only like 20, 24 minutes or whatever. You know, these Critical Role episodes, you know, like, they're like Dungeons & Dragons games. Dungeons & Dragons games, they can go on, you know, for fucking hours. I mean, hours. You know, I played some games where they went on for 4, 5 hours, 6 hours, maybe. Because that's one of the appeals of those kind of games. They're kind of, you know, you get out what you put into them. You know, if you're really invested, you know, you're really, like, getting into the game, role-playing, all that, you know, time just flies. And, you know, Critical Role, you know, these episodes, they'll be 3 hours, 4 hours sometimes, 2 hours, you know. Two is, like, like 2.5 is like the bare minimum they'll be. I've seen some episodes go to like 4.5 hours, and it's like, damn, like, these episodes be long. And they're on their third campaign now, which each campaign follows like a new group of, you know, adventurers. The first one being Vox Machina, which they have an actual animated series of Vox Machina on Amazon, if you have Amazon Prime, which you should go check that out. It's really good. Even if you don't like Dungeons & Dragons, it's a really good show. And who knows, maybe watching it, you're like, this came from a Dungeons & Dragons game? Maybe I should give it a try. Their first campaign was Vox Machina. Then their second campaign was The Mighty Nein. And, like, those campaigns, they went up to, like in the hundreds. I don't think they broke like 200, but, you know, they went into the hundreds, like 120. I think Mighty Nein was like 140, something like that, 130, something like that. And, you know, like I said, each episode, they're hours long, like 2, 3, 4 hours. So, you know, you add that shit up, you know, it's a lot. You know, think about it. You know, you try to watch, you know, you can probably, if you spend the whole day watching Critical Role, you might get through 3 episodes. And if you're trying to watch the whole campaign or whatever, you know, that's like 140 episodes, you know, do the math. That's a lot of fucking time. So when they, because Critical Role, like, I started hearing about Critical Role when I started getting into Dungeons & Dragons and stuff like that. And then I saw that the Vox Machina show was coming out on Netflix, or not Netflix, Amazon. So I was like, I guess I don't really have to watch the first campaign, because, I mean, we're getting the animated series, and I imagine it's gonna do pretty well, so we'll probably get a season 2, which I do believe it is. So I'm like, I don't have to watch the first campaign. And then they announced, like, well, not announced, but they're already like in campaign 3, but campaign 3 only had like 3, 4 episodes at the time. And I'm like, okay, I can jump into this. I better jump into it now, or I'm gonna be left behind. Which was a smart move, because now they're like on episode 34, 35, something like that. And like I said, these episodes be long as shit, so good thing I jumped onto it. And another thing, you know, that kind of helped me keep up with it is they put the show out in podcast form, you know, so you don't have to sit there and watch the video, or, you know, go on YouTube or whatever. You know, I'll listen to the podcast, you know, on the way to work. Sometimes I'll listen to it at work. I'll listen to when I'm in the shower or whatever, or, you know, when I'm making my coffee in the morning, or, you know, I'll watch that when I get home sometimes while I'm eating. Just wherever I can fit it in. You know, because I'm trying to catch up. I kind of fell behind. Like, I'm on episode am I on? Give me a moment, guys. Let me see. Where am I at? They're currently on episode 34, maybe 35, because I think 35 came out Thursday, and I'm on episode think I'm on episode 30. So I'm almost caught up. And it's really interesting. I mean, if you're in Dungeons and Dragons and you want to see, or if you're curious how kind of a game can kind of be, I recommend checking out Critical Role. But I will give you a little disclaimer though. If you think every Dungeons and Dragons game is gonna be like Critical Role, you're gonna be let down real quick. You know, you gotta take it with a little grain of salt. These people, they are kind of professional actors / voice actors. And typically not a lot of people do like this deep of role playing like this. I mean, the best way I could put it is like, if you think most normal sex is going to be like porn, you're sadly mistaken. I'm sorry, I have to, you know, use kind of a vulgar example, but that's the best way I could put it is most Dungeons and Dragons games are not going to be Critical Role, and most sexual encounters you're going to have, they're not going to be like the porn you watch, you know, and I'll leave it at that. That about wraps up, you know, my little tangent and what's it. My little tangent, what's been in my rotation, going into the news of the week. Water hydration, y'all. Water hydration. Make sure you drink your water. Ah. Kicking off this week with gaming. Cyberpunk 2077. It will forever live in infamy in the gaming industry and, you know, the gaming community. For it was one of the most hotly anticipated games, like, I think ever. And its disastrous launch when it came out and the piss horrible state it was in, and everyone, their polarizing opinions about it. But the gaming development company CD Projekt Red has done their due diligence to support, fix the game, and get it up to snuff. If you go back and look at Cyberpunk 2077 now to see where it started, it's a really, really big improvement. And what's also been improving is the player count. How many people are actually playing Cyberpunk 2077? As y'all know, and as I'm reviewing it, the Cyberpunk anime just came out, and the Cyberpunk anime is also doing big numbers. You know, on Rotten Tomatoes, it is a certified 100% fresh, which means, you know, every reviewer or every like critic that has, you know, reviewed or, you know, watched Cyberpunk Edgerunners, they recommend it. You know, they tell you, go watch it. And I believe the user score is like a 97%, 96%, something like that. You know, it's a really fucking great anime. And as y'all will see through my documentation of reviewing each episode going into it, y'all will see why. And a lot of people who were kind of deterred from the big, you know, controversy that Cyberpunk 2077 first landed in when it first launched, that never got into the game, or people who were burned from the launch, you know, just gave up on the game entirely, you know, watched the anime and, you know, they fell in love with it. You know, they fell in love with the story, the world, the characters, you know, everything about it. So like, let me give it another chance, or let me jump into Cyberpunk 2077. Because the story of Cyberpunk Edgerunners is a year before 2077. So, and a lot of people are getting into it. Like, the peak on Steam. Steam is, you know, the PC gaming marketplace where a lot of people buy their games for PC gaming. They buy it through Steam. The Steam player count, the current player count is like at 80,000, something like that. Like, that means like 8,000 people are playing, you know, Cyberpunk 2077 right now on Steam or whatever. And Cyberpunk 2077 Twitter actually tweeted out that every day so far this week, a million people each day per day have jumped back in, either returning or jumping into Cyberpunk 2077 for the first time this week alone. So that means like 5 million people have, you know, jumped into Cyberpunk 2077, which is great to see, because, you know, I love Cyberpunk 2077. You know, for all its flaws, you know, they have done their due diligence. It is a way better state than it is. And I knew when I first played the game, even though I got my refund when the game came out, because I mean, I couldn't really play the shit on my PS4. Like, it was bad. And plus, the breaking point for me was it kind of fucked up my smart TV for a while. Like, the story is, I was playing Cyberpunk 2077 before I had to go to work, and it froze up on my console. Like, and not just like a typical freeze, like it freaked it out, like it almost bricked it. And I'm like, hey yo, what the fuck? I'm like, what the fuck? And like, I tried to plug in, and then it started freaking out my TV. Cause I have a smart TV, and like, it was, I don't know how, what the fuck happened, but it freaked out my TV too. Like, it fucked up my TV. And like, after that, when I tried to plug everything back in or whatever, my TV, it would randomly turn off, turn back on, then it'll work a little bit, it'll freeze, but the audio is still playing, but the picture will freeze, then it will turn back off, restart itself, and then it'll be fine. And if I tried to mess with the volume too much, it would freeze, do that same shit again. All that because of Cyberpunk 2077. So I'm like, nah, fuck that, give me my money back. But even through all that, I could tell, like, there is a good game under all this, you know, technical bugs, glitches, you know, brokenness. You know, there is a good game here. I can see it, but at the state that it's in, it, you know, it really should have spent more time in the oven. You know, I'll come back to it in a year, you know, 2 years or whatever, when y'all fix this shit. And I came back to it like a year later, mainly when I got my PS5. I jumped back into whatchamacallit, into Cyberpunk, because I remember, like, when everything was happening, people were like, well, it runs like dog shit on the PS4, but if you have a PS5 and you're playing it backwards compatible, just, you know, the raw power of the PlayStation 5 kind of forces the game to work. I mean, it will still crash every once in a while, but it won't. But it plays good, you know, it plays at a good, you know, 30 frames, 60 frames, whatever. And, you know, it works. You know, you'll still find some bugs, but it works. You know, the raw power of the PS5 kind of forces it to work. So, when I got my PS5, like, a year later, that's when I jumped back into it. I'm like, and when I played through it all, I'm like, I knew it. Like, I knew, even though, you know, it was a technical mess, you know, the gameplay and the characters, the story, the world, you know, Night City is a character in of itself. I'm like, and I fell in love with it. I'm like, I knew it. You know, it is a good game. It's just, it came out in a poor state. So it's nice to see that Cyberpunk 2077 is getting, you know, the mantra around it is kind of turning around now. And hopefully, since, you know, it's getting shed a new positive light, that CD Projekt Red, the company behind it, you know, continues supporting it and gives us more content for it, because with everything, and, you know, the reputation of the company was, like, really badly hurt or whatever, you know, they did their due diligence to, you know, keep supporting the game, updating it, you know, get it optimized. But now they're starting, you know, rearrange their resources to it, and they're putting it to the new Witcher trilogy they're working on. And, you know, if you see how many of their employees are working on Cyberpunk, you know, when it first started versus now, you know, it's dwindled by a lot. So it's kind of a tail sign, like they're kind of trying to move away from it, you know, because originally, you know, one of the big things around Cyberpunk was, you know, it's gonna be super supportive, we're gonna get all this cool ass content, you know, all these expansions. And what a lot of people forget is there was actually supposed to be a multiplayer component to Cyberpunk 2077. A lot of people forgot about that, but there was supposed to be a multiplayer component to it that they were going to add, you know, like a year or two later to Cyberpunk 2077. But since it came out in such a piss poor state and the reception, just the base game was so bad that they kind of scrapped that. And it's like, yo, we can't do multiplayer. We have to scrap it. You know, we got to get the base game working first before we can do anything else. And when it started getting work and they saw, you know, people start moving on, they're like, oh, well, I guess time for us to move on and start working on different shit. You know, a lot. And the rumor right now is this expansion coming up, Fallen Liberty or whatever, for Cyberpunk 2077. They're saying that this is going to be the only expansion for the game, which people thought, and myself included, thought, there was going to be two, because they did two expansions for The Witcher 3, which was their most successful game so far. You know, they did one expansion where, you know, it was a, you know, decent expansion to the game, you know, extra story content. You know, they extended an area in the game that you can explore the area further. And then the second expansion is where they went all out. You know, it was like its own like mini game in itself. Like, that's how big the expansion was. And it introduced like a totally new area in Witcher 3. And a lot of people thought they're gonna follow that same model for Cyberpunk. But the talk of the town is this might be the only one. But with this resurgence of interest in Cyberpunk 2077, the video game, hopefully they'll reconsider. But things are looking good for Cyberpunk. What's not looking good is Sony. Sony is not looking really good right now. Sony confirmed that PlayStation VR 2, the VR that is meant specifically for the PlayStation 5, will not be backwards compatible with PlayStation VR 1 games. So VR games that were on the PlayStation VR 1 will not be backwards compatible for the PlayStation VR 2, unless the developers themselves put out like a remaster, you know, a re-optimized version of the game to work with PlayStation VR 2, which kind of sucks, because I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people in my shoes that, like, we never owned a PlayStation VR 1 for our, you know, our PS4s or whatever, because I believe you needed the PlayStation Pro for that shit to even work. And there was kind of like some games on there that I always kind of wanted to try, you know, like that Batman Arkham VR game. I always wanted to try that, you know, seeing all these content creators play VR games. I always kind of wanted to get into it, you know, but I only ever have, you know, like a console, you know, like a PlayStation, whatever. I don't have, you know, a badass, you know, gaming PC to run, you know, like these Oculus Rifts or, you know, these HTC Vives, you know, whatever. So I was going to use this opportunity with the PS5 and their eventual, you know, PlayStation VR that they're going to add to it. I was going to take this as the opportunity to go back and try some of those old PS4 VR games that I never had the chance to try. So hearing that I won't even be able to, that kind of sucks. And a lot of people share the same sentiment that I do. Because also, on the same token, it's like, the excuse they gave, it's kind of weak. I'm not gonna lie, it makes sense, but it's kind of weak. They're pretty much saying like, oh, the technology for PSVR 2, it won't be. It's too advanced, not compatible for, you know, PSVR 1 games. Which I'm like, I guess, but it still feels kind of weak, because you know, most of these next gen consoles, they're backwards compatible with these, you know, last gen, you know, games. Why is VR such a, you know, exception? You know, maybe there's some technology behind it that I just don't get, but I don't know. It feels like a weak excuse to me, because like I said, you know, this is a chance for me to go back and, you know, experience some of those old, those not old, but, you know, those VR games that I missed. And the fact that I probably won't be able to unless these companies like put out like a PSVR 2 version for it, I have to spend, you know, a retail price for it. It's like, man, it just don't sit right with me. But I will be picking it up because I have been wanting to try VR for a while. You know, it's kind of the next step in just gaming in general, is putting yourself in the video game. You know, and I want to experience that. Me personally, you know, the big gamer that I am, I want to try it out. So hopefully I'll be able to cop one. You know, all these damn scalpers, hopefully they won't buy that shit up. Let me actually check, because I believe it's coming out next year, the PlayStation VR 2. Bear with me, guys. Bear with me. PlayStation VR 2 release date. PlayStation VR 2 launch date. This is everything we know so far. Okay, so it was originally slated to come out this year in 2022, but Sony has confirmed that we will not be seeing the product launch this year. All they said, because there's no hard release date yet, all they said was the Sony PlayStation VR 2 will be available early next year. So probably like around springtime, maybe like first quarter, maybe first quarter of the year, we'll see the release of it. But I'm excited for it. Even though I know it's gonna be expensive, I know that, because, you know, VR is such a new technology. You know, with new technology, you know, the price point to get into, you know, these, to be the price point to be early adopters of these new, you know, technologies or whatever, it's a pretty penny. It's a pretty penny. Not as bad as I thought it was gonna be, but they're estimating that the PSVR 2 will sit around like $400, which I thought it was gonna be like around $500. You know, 600 maybe, because, you know, like I said, it's a new technology, all this kind of stuff. I thought, you know, they would up the price on it, but it's only like 400. You know, not as bad as I thought it was gonna be. I mean, it's still a pretty big financial commitment, but not as bad as I thought it was gonna be. I'll probably pick me up one if I can get one. If I, you know, as long as, you know, these scalpers don't fuck everything up like they did for the PS5, and they're still doing to the PS5. But we shall see. Now on to the big juicy part of the gaming news. Grand Theft Auto 6. This game has been forever eluded us. Ever since Grand Theft Auto 5 came out, and we've been looking forward to Grand Theft Auto 6. Because Grand Theft Auto 5, they took their sweet time with it. And what we got was, you know, it was, you know, the talk of the town when it came out in 2013. Now, Grand Theft Auto 5 is almost a decade old at this point. And even, like, I want to say, like, 3-4 years into GTA 5, people were already asking, yo, where is GTA 6? Like, are y'all even working on it? Where is it? And they're saying, oh, yeah, we're not working on it right now. We probably won't work on it for a while. They're too focused on the Grand Theft Auto 5 online portion. Plus, they were working on Red Dead Redemption 2 at the time. And Red Dead Redemption 2 was great. I loved it. Story was awesome. Everything. Graphics. Chef's kiss. You know, fantastic. But it has been damn near 10 years since GTA 5. And it's like, dog, like, this is ridiculous. Like, by now we should have at least, you know, like a trailer, you know, we should be on the horizon for GTA 6. It wasn't until this year, maybe, you know, late last year, that the news broke that, oh, we're in early development for GTA 6. I mean, they barely just started working on GTA 6. They barely just started. Yeah, I think this year they said, okay, now we're finally, you know, working on it. We're finally, you know, starting to develop some stuff for it. You know, we're finally starting to work on it. And like I said, GTA 5 is almost 10 years old at this point, and they're barely working on Grand Theft Auto 6. You know, it's like, it's like, damn, dog, I'll probably be 30 by the time we get GTA 6. At the rate they're going, but someone got fed up with it and they actually hacked into Rockstar Games / Take-Two Interactive, the parent company of Rockstar. They hacked into their systems and they actually got a hold of early development footage of Grand Theft Auto 6, and they got the source codes of the game, and they're holding it for ransom against Rockstar. There is footage of it, you know, floating around, you know, the leaked footage, well, floating around the internet right now. And what it means to have the source code of the game, what it means to have the source code of a game, it's pretty much like, how do I put this? It's like having the fundamental component of a program. So it's like, you have a table, right? What makes a table a table? It's the flat part that everything sits on top of that makes it a table. That is the fundamental component of making a table a table. You know, you can have the table legs, but those table legs will never be a table. You know, without the actual table top, it's not a table. Same thing goes for a video game. Without the source code for the game, you know, you don't have the basis, you don't have the fundamental component for the game, which that is what the hacker is currently in possession of. He is in possession of the source code for GTA 6, and he is threatening to leak it on the internet if he does not get his money. And if that shit gets out in the wild, then guess what? All these modders, you know, upcoming, you know, game devs, or, you know, learning game devs, whatever, if they get a whole source code, guess what? Pretty much they can make their own GTAs now. You know, pretty much they have, you know, the secret sauce. They have the sauce, the ingredient to, you know, the secret formula ingredient, if you may, to make their own Grand Theft Auto games. And currently in the time of this recording, the FBI has actually gotten involved in finding who was the one that hacked Rockstar and finding who leaked it, and, you know, trying to bring them to justice. Whatchamacallit, this leak, though, the big fear was that it was going to push back development of the game. That they're going to have to go back to the drawing board. They were going to have to rework their working from home situations with their employees. Because, I mean, contrary to what President Biden said, Biden said, you know, the pandemic is over. But, you know, there's still some that, you know, they're health conscious, which is their right, you know. I'm not judging, no, not whatever. Some people still don't feel comfortable, you know, going back to the workplace, you know, with COVID, you know, still out there, whatever. Some people are still not comfortable, and they'd still rather work from home, which, you know, some companies are still, you know, allowing, you know, and obliging their employees that feel that way. But with this happening, you know, big fear was, you know, Rockstar was going to have to reevaluate their working from home policy, because, I mean, the one thing from working from home is, you know, you work from home, you know, there's really no one looking over your shoulder, no one really supervising you, you know, you kind of have to supervise yourself to some degree, you know, do your work and make sure you're not doing anything you're not supposed to on company time, or, you know, do something that's harmful to the company. And with this, I might have to relook at that, but Rockstar has acknowledged that the leak was indeed real, but it will not push back development, you know, whatever. If anything, it has inspired them to work even harder on the game. And from the leaks we have gotten, and from what the videos I saw, a lot of people were saying that this one is actually going to take place in back in Vice City, which in Grand Theft Auto Land, Vice City is their version of Miami, which we haven't got Vice City since, shit. Hold on, let me look that up. Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto. It's crazy. I'm typing Grand Theft Auto into Google, and the first thing that pops up is Grand Theft Auto 6 release date. People are tired of waiting. They want this game already. Like I said, it's been almost 10 years. You know, it's like, come on, dog. Like, I'm all for developers taking their time and shit. You know, give me the best product you can. You know, make sure that shit works at launch. You know, Cyberpunk. But, you know, at the same time, it's like, damn, dog. Like, why so long? But a lot of people are saying this one's going to take place in Vice City. The last time we went to Vice City was in 2002. Damn, it's been 20 years since they visited Vice City. Shit. Damn, that's, wow, that's crazy. Vice City came out in 2002, and that one you played as it was kind of like a Scarface game to me, because it took place in Miami in the 80s. And whatchamacallit, and from the looks of the leak, I can see that it is going to kind of take place in Vice City, but it's going to be a more modern Vice City. So I'm interested, you know, I'm interested to see where they take it, if it is going to be in Vice City, which that makes the most sense, because a lot of that was the only way, unless they were going to make a new map and go to a whole new city, you know, make a whole new city, like, I don't know, Grand Theft Auto Chicago or some shit, I don't know. Because we had GTA 5, which took us back to Los Santos, aka Los Angeles. And then before GTA 5, we had GTA 4, which took place in Liberty City, aka New York City. So it wouldn't make sense to go make GTA 6 in Los Santos again. Ooh, they did that. They would. Ooh, I can already see it. If they put up that trailer and ready of that announcement, that, oh yeah, GTA 6, we're coming back again for Los Santos one more time. Ooh, people will be mad. And people wouldn't be mad if they said, oh, we're going to Liberty City. People wouldn't be mad. Some people might be a little disappointed. It's like, ah, come on. Like, what about Vice City, though? We haven't seen Vice City in forever. So the fact that they did, you know, think ahead, you know, they did kind of get in the fans' head, like, let's go back to Vice City. We haven't gone back to Vice City in, you know, forever. You know, it only makes sense. So, yeah, hopefully I'll have to wait for GTA 6 for another fucking 5 years or whatever. Another 10 years or whatever. Because, man, it's just getting ridiculous. But at the same time, like, I don't think it was right for the hacker to do what he did. You know, kind of ruin it for everyone. But yeah, it's a messy situation. You know, the best thing I can hope for is, you know, we still get a great game out of it, and hopefully we don't have to wait too damn long. But we shall see. moving on to anime news. New anime announcement. Rurouni Kenshin is getting a new anime. They actually just released a trailer for it. For those of you who don't know, Rurouni Kenshin was one of like the big dogs back in, you know, the 90s. Back when Dragon Ball Z was popular, back when Yu Yu Hakusho was, you know, popular, Rurouni Kenshin was right there with them. Rurouni Kenshin followed Kenshin, who was a samurai. I mean, I was born in 98, so I never saw Rurouni Kenshin. I always saw Dragon Ball because it used to come out on Cartoon Network and Toonami, and then I didn't see Yu Yu Hakusho till like later in life. But Rurouni Kenshin, it's held as one, you know, those really, you know, great classic animes. But there's a lot of mixed feelings around this, because about 4 years ago it came out that the creator of Rurouni Kenshin is actually I mean, the motherfucker's a pedophile. There ain't no way to sugarcoat him. He a pedo. He got arrested for having child pornography on, you know, on his person, you know, at his home, his office, whatever. Got caught with child pornography. And the motherfucker's quoted, you know, this is quoted, that he is aroused by young girls from around that, from elementary to like second year middle school age, which just saying that just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And just, me personally, when it comes to kids and, you know, pedophilia and this kind of stuff, like, that's just the big no, dog. It's a no. And, you know, there's just, It's kind of a touchy subject of, can you separate the art from the artist? You know, some people can do that. Some people are like, no, this man did this, so I'm not supporting anything he does. Which I can understand both sides. Me personally, I'm kind of caught in the middle. Whereas there is, when I say I'm caught in the middle, there are certain things, like, if a person does this, I can't support anything that they do. And there are certain people, like, they did this, and depending on what they did or like the context or whatever is around it, like, I'll never defend them, I'll never, you know, whatever, but I might still partake in, you know, whatever content or, you know, whatever, you know, entertainment they're pushing. You know, me personally, if you are found convicted, I'm talking about for me personally, if you are found convicted, if you are arrested, and like you got caught red-handed over like some like pedophilia like type shit, that's a big nah for me, dog. You know, I'm not co-signing. I'm not, nah. This is a big nod for me, dog. So take that as you will. If you're gonna watch it, cool, because this one will actually, it's pretty much a reboot of the series. We know with modern animation, they're gonna start from the beginning and go all the way to the end, because apparently the original anime ended on a filler arc and never got to the actual final arc of the manga or whatever. So this one will actually cover everything. So if you're gonna watch it, cool. Me personally, I'm probably not gonna check it out. Next in the news, voice actors in the West, it's been kind of an ongoing thing that voice actors in the West for one, they don't get the respect that they feel like they deserve, which is understandable, because, I mean, it's kind of a thing in the anime community that the dub is never as good as the sub. You know, all this kind of stuff. And on top of they're constantly scrutinized or whatever for their work, they are not paid a fair wage for their work. So a lot of these voice actors, they started to unionize. And this kind of came ahead this week when the voice actor, the English voice actor for Mob from Mob Psycho, he actually got pretty much replaced because Crunchyroll, since Crunchyroll is kind of the biggest anime streaming platform now that they own Funimation, or Funimation's under them now, they pretty much said, you know, if you don't conform, or like, we're not gonna, you know, agree to your union terms or whatever, you know, the legality case may be, pretty much we're not gonna play ball. So yeah, we'll just find someone else to do it, you know, you're cut, pretty much. Which is, it's pretty scumbag move to do. You know, all these people were asking for is, you know, a fair wage for, you know, the fair work that they do. Because when you're a voice actor, you don't get royalties from your work. You know, to make a living as a voice actor, you have to constantly be getting work in. You know, you're not getting paid, you know, in between roles or whatever. You want to get paid, you better have something lined up after, you know, the project you just wrapped up. You know, that's the name of the game. And with that being the case, you know, a lot of these voice actors, they're just asking for a fair wage now. But Crunchyroll is not having it, and they replaced them. Me personally, I feel like, you know, you should be paid for a job that you do. And these people deserve, you know, to, whatchamacallit, have a fair wage, because, you know, the audience for, you know, these English dub animes, you know, it's steadily growing with, you know, along with, you know, the increased interest in anime itself. You know, a lot more casual people are getting into anime, and from what I've seen, the more casual the person is, the more they're just gonna watch the English dub versus watching the Japanese sub. Because a lot of these casual people, like, ah, bro, I ain't trying to read, you know, I'm trying to read my show, you know, I just want to watch. Which, that's a whole nother, you know, topic. I'm not gonna get into that. That's a whole nother debate right there. But you know, it sucks, you know. And the fallout, the backlash from it, and especially how Crunchyroll kind of responded to it, hopefully this is an indicator that you gotta change your ways. But it probably won't, because Crunchyroll is, you know, backed by Sony, and, you know, Crunchyroll is pretty much like the biggest, I won't say the only, but it is, you know, the biggest way for people to really get watch anime like that. So there, and there really is no big competition for them in the streaming, you know, in the streaming world or whatever. So they really don't have any incentives to really give their voice actors a fair wage. So, I mean, we can only hope for the best, right? Moving on, Chainsaw Man will only be 12 episodes. Which is surprising, because I would think the anime would be longer, but it kind of came out that the anime is only going to be 12 episodes. But the caveat with that, though, even though it's 12 episodes, a lot of people are saying that it'll probably be broken up into two cores, so we'll get 12 episodes, and then there'll probably be like a 3-month, 4-month gap, and then we'll get like the next 12, kind of like how Spy Family did it. You know, we got the 12 episodes like in the springtime, now we're getting the next 12 in, you know, this kind of fall time. That's what people are thinking they're gonna do, but they haven't confirmed anything that, you know, it's gonna be a 2-core season or whatever. Because if it's just a 12 episode first season, and then we gotta wait like a whole another year for the season two. Ooh, that'd be bad. That'd be really, really bad. Because this anime has been hotly anticipated for a while now. And I feel like that'd be a slap to the community's face if they did that, you know. So here's the hoping. Hopefully I'll come back to y'all next week and, you know, tell y'all that, oh yeah, it's gonna be two core. We're gonna get the second core and, you know, the next few months or whatever. Hopefully. And other slight news, Genshin Impact, one of the biggest mobile anime games right now. Yeah, kind of mobile. You can play it on your PlayStation too. I mean, I'm enjoying it. It's just kind of a comfort game, you know, not really spectacular like that. And, you know, if you just want like a nice chill game to play, play it. But it does have microtransaction, loot boxes type stuff. So take that as you will. But it is getting an anime from Studio Ufotable, the same people behind Demon Slayer and the Fate series. So you already know the animation is going to be A1. I'm definitely going to check it out. You know, it's done by Ufotable, you know, so I recommend everyone check out the anime at least. You know, you already know the animation is going to be on point. And yeah, that is pretty much it. That about wraps up episode 7 of the Musical Week podcast. Thank y'all for listening, and I'll see you back Tuesday for the second episode of the Cyberpunk Edgerunners episode 2 review, and I will catch y'all then. Peace, y'all.